Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. Today is Monday, the 26th of September, 2022. And it's Tishrei 1, New Year's Day, day 6 of creation, the day that mankind was made in the flesh. Hallelujah. As per Genesis 1:24-31. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Hallelujah. We are reading from the Legends of the Jews, section 1, part 2. And we are going to move on to verse 4. Hallelujah. Which starts saying the superiority of man. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In Yahushua's name, we continue to soak these audios in the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach, in the name of Yahushua. And I soak myself, my mouth, my thoughts, my heart, my intentions in the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach. I soak the word of Yah that I'm reading in the blood of Yahushua, in the name of Yahushua. Amen. All right, let's continue from verse 4, the Legends of the Jews, section 1, part 2. The superiority of man to the other creatures is apparent in the very manner of his creation. Altogether different from theirs, he is the only one who was created by the hand of Yah. The rest sprang from the word of Yah. The body of man is a microcosm. The whole world is a miniature. I feel like I've read this already. Sorry, I think I've read this. Let's stop there. Okay, yeah, I've already read that. Let's move on. Verse 5. The whole world naturally was created for the pious. I think we've read that too. Sorry, verse 6. In his modesty, Yah took counsel with the angels before the creation of the world regarding his intention of making man. He said, "For the sake of Israel, I will create the world. As I shall make a division between light and darkness, so I will, in time to come, do for Israel in Egypt. Thick darkness shall be over the land, and the children of Israel shall have light in their dwellings. As I shall make a separation between the waters under the firmament and the waters above the firmament, so I will do for Israel. I will divide the waters for him when he crosses the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea." Okay, I'm going to stop there. The first one regarding the 3 days of darkness that happened in Egypt, I just want to quickly say something about that. Remember that there's going to be a 3 days of darkness in the future here on earth before the Great Tribulation has begun, but during the Great Tribulation, there's going to be a time called the Day of the Lord, the dreadful Day of the Lord, where a lot of things are going to happen, such as the giants being on earth, dinosaurs being on earth, the 3 days of darkness happening, and various other things that we haven't seen, and some that we have seen, some we have read about in the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, Yahweh has made it clear that the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, particularly the mature bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, which is the Revelation 14 bride, will have light in their dwellings. They themselves will be the light. Hallelujah. And interestingly, Sister Carrie Ann Gideon has actually seen this in a vision and shared about it, that we, the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, the mature bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, the Revelation 14 bride, will have light in their dwellings, and they themselves will be the light. Hallelujah. Light will be coming out of their bodies. Hallelujah. And because of that, there will be no darkness in their own homes. That 3 days of darkness is a major part of the judgment that is coming to this earth, because the demons will have manifested on the earth in a manner that they can be seen with the physical eye, and they'll be going around tormenting human beings in their homes, those especially those who have not accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as Lord and Savior and are not protected by the bride of Yahushua by through prayers or, you know, anything like that. Those who are already condemned and they are not destined to give their lives to Christ and live for Yahushua HaMashiach. So the 1 year harvest says here that he is, you know, creating the light to divide light from darkness, just as it will be in Egypt. I just felt I should let us know that this event is going to repeat itself. And the interesting part is that the bride of Yahushua, who will be emitting the light all over the earth in a brighter way, in a way that nobody has ever seen before in this generation, they are called Israel. They are Yah's end time Israel, the ones who have accepted Yahushua HaMashiach's blood sacrifice. And they also they bear his testimony and they obey his commandments. Hallelujah. As the book of Revelation tells us. Now they represent Israel and the true church of Yahushua HaMashiach on earth. The Revelation 7 bride will also emit light, but Yahweh has not mentioned much about them. I believe they will be roughly the same, though they need the anointing of the mature bride, the Revelation 14 bride, to be even stronger and better, which they will receive upon the holy rapture to the heavens of the Revelation 14 bride, because they, Revelation 7 bride, have to stay here for about 3.5 years before they can be raptured to the heavens. And Yahweh has revealed through another prophet that once the rapture of the Revelation 14 bride occurs, the light, the world will be sprung into darkness. Because their light will be so bright, it will be so bright that when they leave, the difference will be noticed tremendously. Okay, let's move on. So we've talked about the light and darkness. The next thing is Yahweh says that he will separate, that just as he separated the waters under the firmament and the waters above the firmament, so I will do for Israel. I will divide the waters for him when he crosses the Red Sea, as on the third day. And then he continues, as on the third day I shall create plants, so will I will do for Israel. I will bring forth manna for him in the wilderness, as I shall create luminaries to divide the day from night. Hallelujah. So I would, oh my God, this is confusing because there's no full stops, it's semicolons. So he's mentioned light so far, he's mentioned the division of the waters, he's mentioned the feeding of the Israelites in the desert or in the wilderness, and now he's saying, as I shall create luminaries, so the sun, the moon, and the stars, to divide the day from the night, so I will do for Israel. I will go before him by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. As I shall create the fowl of the air and the fishes of the sea, so I will do for Israel. I will bring quails for him from the sea, and as I shall breathe the breath of life into the nostrils of man, so I will do for Israel. I will give him the Torah unto him, the tree of life. The angels marveled so much love should be. Oh my God. Okay, I'm gonna stop. Sorry, I'm rushing so much that I'm not understanding what is being said. All right, let's go back a little bit. And as I shall breathe the breath of life into the nostrils of man, so I will do for Israel. I will give him the Torah, and I will give the Torah unto him, the tree of life. Hallelujah. So as I shall breathe the breath of life into the nostrils of man, so I will do for Israel. I will give him the Torah. I will give the Torah unto him, the tree of life. So the Torah is the tree of life. Hallelujah. The Torah is the tree of life. The Torah is the tree of life. So in the Torah, Parasha Nitzavim, which means the one standing that we read last Saturday, when Yahweh is telling us to choose life, this is what he is talking about. Choose the Torah, choose my commandments, choose life, choose the tree of life. And that is what also someone is talking about. I would have loved to read someone, but let's just keep going, brethren. The angels marveled that so much love should be lavished upon this people of Israel, and Yah told them, on the first day of creation, I shall make the heavens and stretch them out. So will Israel raise up the tabernacle as the dwelling place of my glory. This is very interesting. And truly the tabernacle was raised up on the first day of the Hebrew month called Nisan or Aviv, also known as Abib. Hallelujah. From this month, Tishrei, Nisan is the seventh month of the year. Hallelujah. But according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, as we all know, Nisan is the first month. So there is more than one Hebrew calendar year. There's layers of Hebrew calendar years within the calendar. Hallelujah. There is the Hebrew year as per the civil year as per Genesis 1. There is the Hebrew year as per Exodus 12, 1 to 2, and which is the ecclesiastical year, the one that, you know, tells us about Yah's appointments with him. And then there is the Torah reading year. Hallelujah. All right, let's carry on. So the angels marveled that so much love should be lavished upon these people of Israel. And Yah told them, on the first day of creation, I shall make the heavens and stretch them out. So will Israel raise up the tabernacle as the dwelling place of my glory, my Shekinah glory. On the second day, I shall put a division between the terrestrial waters and the heavenly waters. So will he hang up a veil in the tabernacle to divide the holy place and the most holy place. Hallelujah. You can see that everything is interwoven with each other. Now he is relating the creation story in Genesis 1 to the, you know, the creation of the tabernacle of Moses. This is very interesting, and this is all part of the creation of man. This is under the section of the creation of man, because the creation of man started with, is linked to Israel, and it happened in Israel at the place where Yahushua's cross was placed many years later. This is in the book of the Cave of Treasures. Hallelujah. On the third day, I shall make the earth put forth grass and herb. So will he, in obedience to my commandments, eat herbs on the first night of Passover and prepare showbread for me. Hallelujah. So what was created on the third day, the production of the herbs and the grass, is linked to the Passover Seder, and also the eating of the showbread in the tabernacle of Moses on a daily basis, the daily holy communion. Okay, on the fourth day, I shall make the luminaries, so the sun, the moon, and the stars. So will he make a golden candlestick for me, the menorah, the seven-branch golden lampstand. Hallelujah. On the fifth day, so you can see that they're all related. On the fifth day, I shall create the birds. so will he fashion the cherubim with outstretched wings. Hallelujah. The cherubim that you see on the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. You know they have wings because they're angels. So on the sixth day, I stopped there for a moment because I just wanted to talk about the cherubim. Okay, cherubim is a plural Hebrew word for a certain set of angels in the heavens. The singular is cherub. Now, the cherubim are described as the holy angels who are closest to Yah in the heavens. They encircle his throne and emit an intense fiery light representing his love. These angels have already been described, I think, in the first part of the legends of the Jews that we read at the beginning on the first day of creation. I know one of them is Michael, the other is Gabriel, the other is Raphael, and the other is Uriel. So those are the four angels that encircle his throne. So when he says he put cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant, he's talking about the topmost angels in the heavens who encircle his throne. But we don't know the names of the angels we see on the Ark of the Covenant. And then the seraphim are considered to be fiery serpents, and not even the other divine beings may look at them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to Yah. It says in Jewish history, the seraphim are known as Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Jeremiel, Raguel, Zerachiel, and Remiel. And before the devil fell, or Lucifer, he was one of them. But I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to dig too deep when it comes to that. Hallelujah. It says here in the book of, that according to the book of Enoch, Metatron, the angel Metatron, holds the highest rank of the seraphim, with the following directly below him, Jehoel. Let's move on. Let's keep reading. That was concerning the fifth day of the week, that the just as Yah created birds in the air, so will he fashion the cherubim with outstretched wings, and when the cherubim are on the Ark of the Covenant. Then on the sixth day of the week, I shall create man, so will Israel set aside a man of the sons of Aharon as a high priest for my service. Hallelujah. So on the sixth day, Aharon was, I don't remember how many days anyway, let's not look at that. Fact of the matter is he's relating the creation of man to the setting apart of Aharon as the high priest for Yah's service. Let's keep reading verse 7. It says, accordingly, the whole of creation was conditional. Yah said to the things he made on the first 6 days, if Israel accepts the Torah, you will continue and endure. Otherwise, I shall turn everything back into chaos again. The whole world was thus kept in suspense and dread until the day of the revelation on Sinai, when Israel received and accepted the Torah and so fulfilled the condition made by Yah at the time when he created the universe. This is extremely crucial to take note of, brethren. If Israel had rejected the Torah, nothing would exist now. It would all be chaos again, and we would have been destroyed. But because Israel accepted the Torah, which most people disregard, even the body of Yahushua saying it was done away with, it was nailed to the cross. If Israel had rejected that Torah, or the law as most popularly known, nothing would be in existence as it is now. It is very important to understand that, brethren. You can't understand this from the biblical scriptures we have of Genesis to Revelation. You have to dig deeper into the lost books of the Bible to understand this. And it is being highlighted emphatically. Hallelujah. Accordingly, the whole of creation was conditional. Yah said to the things he made on the first 6 days, if Israel accepts the Torah, you will continue and endure. Otherwise, I shall turn everything back into chaos again. The whole world was thus kept in suspense and dread until the day of the revelation of Sinai, which is Shavuot, also known as weeks in English and Pentecost in Greek, and that is day 6 of the Hebrew month called Shivan, when Israel received and accepted the Torah and so fulfilled the condition made by Yah at the time when he created the universe. Hallelujah. And this is why Yahweh reintroduced the Torah to Israel in small doses. Before that day, he sent Moshe and Miriam to go and approach the different people within the camp of Israel. The women were Miriam and the men Moses or Aaron, and they were reaching out to them and telling them about the Torah in advance. But the giving of the Torah happened on Yom Kippur because of the sin of the golden calf. So they listened to the Torah being spoken to them by the mouth of Yahweh directly. It was given to them in summary, or where the Ten Commandments were spoken to them, and then various laws were read to them, and they accepted, they agreed at every law that was read to them. And then Yahweh wanted to present the Torah to them, but because they were so afraid of his voice and their souls were almost jumping out of their bodies so that they were almost dead, they said that Moshe should be their mediator. So Yahweh ended the ceremony after saying the 10th commandment and then called Moshe up to Mount Sinai, where he spent 40 days and 40 nights receiving the Torah. So he too had to learn it. He had to be instructed in it before he could present it to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 8, the angels and the creation of man. Verse 9, Yah is in his wisdom, having resolved to create man, he asked counsel of all around him before he proceeded to execute his purpose. An example to man, be he never so great and distinguished, not to scorn the advice of the humble and lowly. First, Yah called upon heaven and earth, then upon all other things he had created, and last upon the angels. The angels were not, verse 10, the angels were not all of one opinion. The angel of love favored the creation of man because he would be affectionate and loving. But the angel of truth proposed it because he would be full of lies. And while the angel of justice favored it because he would practice justice, the angel of peace opposed it because he would be quarrelsome. This is interesting. Yahweh having conversations with the holy angels about making man. Verse 11, to invalidate his protest, Yah cast the angel of truth down from heaven to earth. And when the others cried out against such contemptuous treatment of their companion, he said, truth will spring back out of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next session is too long to read in the next few seconds because I've run out of time. I have to stop here. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. Lashana Tova. A very happy year to you all. Remain blessed in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. May Numbers 6:22-27 be your portion in Yahushua's name. And we'll continue in the next audio.